This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon, snow and all. I am Jack Ebling, sitting in for my good friend Earl Robinson, and this is News Talk 870 Sports. You may have heard a promo saying that Earl was going to be talking with Dr. Clarence Underwood and Terry Fitzwater today, and that was probably recorded before Earl took the day off. He will be back at the Sexton Eastern basketball game tonight, as I will, and we have 55 minutes of sports talk for you coming up, including Bob Every, who is going to tell us all about the Lansing Sports Hall of Fame and some tremendous improvements, a new display there. We'll be talking with Cameron Ganas of Traction, one of the top design firms in the Midwest, and we're also going to be talking with our first guest, very happy to bring in, live from Spokane, Washington, Judd Heathcote. And hello, Judd, how are you? Hello, Judd, how are you? There we go.
For this again?
We got you. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm fine, Jack. I hope you are too.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet you miss all the snow that we have here.
Well, I don't. You know, we've had a very mild winter, and we have our fingers crossed that maybe we won't get much more snow, and the golf courses will open early, and we'll be out there trying to hit the ball.
Well, we haven't had much snow here either, but we've had a lot of basketball. Were you at a game last night with BYU and Gonzaga?
I was. It's a really strange game, too. BYU took 78 shots and made 24. Gonzaga took 41 and made 14 and still won.
It isn't very often you see a team take 37 fewer shots and win the game, but that's obviously what the Zags did last night.
Michigan made a lot of foul shots, you know, when Brigham Young got behind, they just started clubbing guys.
Well, we want to let all of our listeners know that if they have watched the Big Ten Icons series on the Big Ten Network, that Judd Heathcote is going to be featured tomorrow night at 10:30 our time, just after the Michigan State-Nebraska game here. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be, and were you surprised when you got that call?
Well, you know, the producer interviewed me for the Magic Johnson segment of the Players Icon.
Right.
And then he said, you know, I want to do an interview also because you're going to be the coach's icon. And I said, no, I can't be. There's too many other outstanding coaches. And they said, no, they picked you. And I was very flattered. And I said, well, I must have wanted somebody who was still alive. But I said, you better do it real quick, because who knows, you know. So, you know, it's not a surprise, because it has been hanging there for a year or so.
Yeah. They have done these on Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes and Dan Gable and, of course, Gene Cady, your good friend. Lou Henson was just done. Bob Knight here is being done. So, pretty good company, I would say, in terms of legendary Big Ten coaches. And your imprint on Michigan State basketball goes back to 1976, but continues now. And every time you watch a Michigan State game and you see Tom Izzo, and you know that it has been since 1976 with just two coaches, that speaks a lot to the stability and the program that you built here.
Well, you know, as I've told people a million times, I worked hard to get Tom the job because I believed he deserved it, but I also wanted continuity in the program.
Right. And,
you know, then you look at the years that Tom has been there. He gets a couple more years. He's going to pass me. He's already passed me in all the wins and so on, but then he's going to pass me in longevity, too. 19 years at one school is a long time in college basketball anymore. Tom now has been there 17 years, so, you know, it just goes on and on.
You know, when people talk to Tom about the 17 years, Judd, sometimes he corrects them and he says, no, it's actually 29 years because I was in school for 12 years under Judd Heathcote.
Well, he was my assistant, and I tell everyone, you know, he got better every single year. And all the things you have to do, the X's and O's, the relationship with the kids, the recruiting, the boosters, the media, all the things that go into college basketball coaching at the top level. And I think Tom still improves in those areas.
Michigan State coaching icon, Judd Heathcote, our guest here on News Talk 870 Sports. Judd, when you talk about basketball getting better every year, a lot of people think this is one of the best years for Big Ten basketball. And I always refer back to 1979, how competitive things were that year. And then in the early 1990s, when you had to be a very good team just to get to 500 in this league.
Well, and that's true today. You look like Iowa upsets Wisconsin. I just say that's not an upset. That's a home game for Iowa, and they're almost as good as all the other clubs. But you look at the Northwesterns, the Penn States, the Nebraskas, the Iowas, the bottom half could probably be in the top half of any other league in the country. I watched the Pac-12 out here, Jack, and I don't think there's really a good team in the league. There's some, a better than good team. There's some good teams, California, the Arizona, Stanford. They have good teams, but they're not as good as the Big Ten teams.
No one knows better than you how little the media can know, and there have been some times where that was very much on display. A year ago, Michigan State was picked second in the country before the season, first in the Sporting News, and went on to win 19 games this year, unranked at the start of the year. And here they are projected to have a top seed. What is so different about this Michigan State basketball team?
Well, I think one person, one name, Draymond Green. You know, you get a Magic Johnson, you get a Mateen Cleaves, you get a Draymond Green maybe once in your coaching career, a guy that can lead and make other players better. And that's why that team is where it is, I think, that Draymond's influence on the younger players has molded this into a very cohesive team. And, you hate to put the pressure on one guy, but I claim, Michigan State will go about as far as Draymond carries them.
Judd, Mateen Cleaves was saying that he challenges Draymond Green whenever he gets a chance and asks him, will you be able to sit at the big table with Magic, with me, with Steve Smith? Right now, I'd say that they're pulling up a chair for Draymond Green.
Well, I think, he might invite the other guys to sit at his table.
What is it about a player, and they are so rare, you saw it with Irvin, making other players better, not just making themselves better?
Well, it's an intangible. I've always said I've only had two players that I coached in all my career that could almost will a team to win, and that was Magic Johnson and Scott Skiles. And Scott didn't necessarily make the other players better. He was just so competitive and passionate that it carried over. Magic made everyone better by what he did, and I think Draymond Green does the same thing. And leadership is just, everyone defines leadership, and yet there's really no definition. It's just some guys have it, some guys don't. Then some guys have it to the nth degree, and guys like Mateen, Magic, and Draymond have that ability.
When you look at the career of a Draymond Green, here he is 10 rebounds away from 1,000, only three players have that. He's 102 rebounds behind Gregory Kelser, the all-time leading rebounder at Michigan State. And he's not that tall, Judd. He's 6'6 and a half, maybe 6'7, but very good positioning, very good timing, and just a nose for the basketball.
Well, and then, he's really taller than he is because he has tremendously long arms.
Yeah.
And so he's able to kind of snake balls that other guys couldn't get. And, Gregory Kelser was the same way. He'd be, at 6'6", why he'd be rebounding against guys 6'9", 6'10". Everyone said, well, he out-jumps him. I said, yeah, but he's got arms and hands that get to the ball. And I think it's a knack there in rebounding that you want to get to the ball.
Michigan State University basketball coaching icon, Judd Heathcote, our guest here on News Talk 870 Sports. I'm Jack Ebling, filling in for Earl Robinson today. Judd, you talk about some of the things that Draymond Green can do, not just as a rebounder, but as a passer, a kind of passer you very seldom see on the front court. How much can a coach teach those things, or are those just innate?
Well, I think you can stress them. I think you can work on them. But there's something, again, an intangible that makes players that can pass the ball find the right player at the right time at the right place. And a lot of guys can make great passes, but they don't lead to baskets. And so I think that Draymond has an ability to find guys inside, and he makes a lot of his passes in short areas. You know, I've got a million of those Juddisms, but one of them was never pass the ball to a guy you can touch, because that's too short a pass, it usually gets intercepted.
Right.
Draymond is one of those that can make that pass. He'll pass a short pass to Payne or Nix or Dawson, where other guys couldn't. And, he's very, very good at seeing situations. He has a brilliant basketball IQ.
Is Draymond Green the Big Ten Player of the Year, Judd?
No question. You know, you talk about Sullinger and all he does for Ohio State, but take Sullinger out, they still have almost the same team. You take Draymond Green out of Michigan State, they have no team. So, you know, it's what you do for your team that should get you the most valuable player, and I think it's hands down Draymond Green.
You know, you talk about Michigan State and Ohio State. I was down in Columbus a couple weeks ago, and I must say I was pretty surprised with the way that game turned out. I think Tom Izzo was a little surprised with the way it turned out. As you watched it, could you tell that it was Michigan State's day, or is there something about that matchup that favors the Spartans?
Well, I think they did an excellent job of neutralizing Sullinger. You know, he had a triple-double. To get the triple-double, he had 10 turnovers. Well, you know, that's and it's funny because Tom is always very reluctant to double a post. And I said, now are you going to double Sullinger? No, we're going to just dig back. And I said, yeah, you've done that before where guys just wave at the ball. I says, dig a little deeper this time. And he says, that's what we're planning to do. And that's what they did, and it worked. And so I didn't say they neutralized him, but, you know, if you look at his points, his rebounds, and then minus the turnovers, why, it was almost a push. So, and then they did an outstanding job on Buford. So I say that they won it defensively. Now, whether they can do that again when I claim the Big Ten title will be determined with that last game. And I've got my fingers crossed that the Spartans will be just as good as they were down there.
Judd, I actually told one of the Columbus writers that Jared Sullinger had a quadruple-double that day. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, he had double figures for points, rebounds, turnovers, and missed shots. So,
well, and maybe complaints to the officials, too. So he was not a happy camper that game.
Judd, before we let you go, you had such tremendous success developing guards, and your program was known for that. What about the progress of Keith Appling this year?
Well, I wish you hadn't asked me, you know. He's doing an excellent job at the point, but he does not have a consistent jump shot off the dribble.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what we used to, I say that's a lost art in basketball, but he has the speed and quickness to get into the foul lane area.
Yeah.
And so often he does not take the shot. Now, the last couple of games, he's hit a couple of those each game, so maybe that's what he's working on. And then he's not a great outside shooter. I think that he'll be better as, his career goes on, because he'll work on that. But as far as doing the things that a point guard does, set the offense, and then what a lot of people don't notice is he is an excellent, excellent defensive player.
Yes.
He always takes the best guy and does a tremendous job with him. So he's really contributing in a lot of areas.
Judd, after his high school championship game, when he scored 49 points on 24 shots, that was the day when he said he broke Antoine Jobert's record and didn't know who Antoine Jobert was. A lot of people got a kick out of that. But he really proved to people that he could score. He could do a lot of things. And I don't know whether he's concentrating so much on running the team or playing defense. It's an awful lot to ask of a guy who's a first-year starter. But I think the future is very bright for Keith Appling down the road.
Well, if he ever finds out who Antoine Gilbert is, it might be.
Judd, we look forward to the Big Ten Icon show tomorrow, and maybe we'll run into you somewhere along the tournament trail. I know if Michigan State makes a nice run here, there's a chance that they could head out west. They're projected right now as a number one seed in the West region. Maybe we'll see you there at the Final Four.
Hey, let's hope so.
All right. Thanks so much, Judd.
Thank you, Jack.
Bye. Judd Heathcote, Michigan State coach from 1976 to 1995, and the guy who really gave us Tom Izzo. We'll be right back with more News Talk 870 Sports in just a moment.
I'm Ira Flatow. On the next Science Friday, we'll look at the battle over protecting your privacy as you surf the web. Also, there is room at the bottom as researchers build a transistor out of a single atom. And the moon may not be as dead as we thought. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. We have a winter storm warning until 5 p.m. 2 to 3 inches of snow and windy with a high of 34 degrees. An inch or two of snow tonight with a low in the low 20s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a chance of an inch or less of new snow. Saturday's high, 32.
Welcome back to News Talk 870 Sports. I'm Jack Ebling, sitting in for Earl Robinson. Earl taking a well-deserved day off, and he'll be back at it tonight. We'll both be over at Eastern High School, the Don Johnson Fieldhouse, for that big high school matchup between the Sexton Big Reds and the Eastern Quakers. I want to thank Judd Heathcote for joining us, and want to welcome in our next guest, Bob Every, a fixture in Greater Lansing for decades and decades, and he is very well known for all of his work in softball coaching and with the Crown Boxing Club. But we're going to talk about something near and dear to his heart and to mine, and that is the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Hello, Bob. How are you? Hello, Bob.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
We're doing just fine here, and we want to talk to you a little bit about the Hall of Fame in Lansing and a tremendous new display in the Lansing Center. What can you tell us?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Lansing Center people have been tremendous, and they've been really supportive of everything that we've been trying to do down there. And basically, Jack, as you know from being down there, what we're trying to do is we're trying to give the Hall of Fame much more visibility than we've had in the previous 36 years. And I think that we're on the right track of getting that done. We're at the main lobby, the Michigan Avenue lobby, and then the riverfront lobby that bends around there with all of our shadow box jerseys and our individual plaques and cases and Olympic flags and team plaques. It's a really nice setup, and it's just going to get bigger and better.
The list of honorees for the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame stacks up with any, and I would say that having been a member of the committee for the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, one of the local halls, I was looking at their roster, and a little bit bigger city than Lansing, and Lansing's holds up very well in comparison, but the display that is there now for people who frequent the Lansing Center or come over across the way, or maybe they're down at a Lugnuts game, really worth your time to stop and see it. And I know you've gotten a lot of positive feedback.
Well, that's absolutely right. When you get a chance to take a young person to the Hall of Fame, and you can actually be within feet of Judy Brown King's original Olympic blazer and Todd Martin's Olympic tennis warm-up and Kevin Jackson's warm-up and Magic Johnson's basketball jersey and John Smoltz's baseball jersey. And today, I just picked up from Cindy Short, the athletic director at Everett High School, Evelyn Johnson's 52 jersey that we're going to be mounting and displaying. But I think that the important thing is when you get those kids, or anybody for that matter, over there and you're that close to those jerseys that were at various parts of the world being worn by some of the very greatest athletes in the world, it kind of sends a chill up and down your spine. I think it's exciting, and I think that that's what we needed, and we have that opportunity with the expansion of being at the Lansing Center to do all of that stuff now and really turn this into a high-grade Sports Hall of Fame.
When you come into the Lansing Center off Michigan Avenue, just make a quick left, and you can't miss it. Just walk down that hallway, and you'll see a long corridor that is really laden with beautiful items that Bob has done most of the work in procuring. And there's a lot of work left to go, and we have so many people that are worthy of being inducted. One of the tough parts of this, Bob, as you well know, deciding who's going to get in and who's going to have to wait a little bit.
Well, that's absolutely right. You've kind of had your fingers on this a little bit, so you know the trials and tribulations of running something like this when you put together that 50th greatest area sports athletes a year or so ago, and then the trailers that were a part of it. But it's a difficult task to decide who belongs and who doesn't belong, and we have a process that we have to follow, and then we can only induct those people that have been nominated. Mm-hmm. And there's probably so many great people out there that yet need to be nominated, and what we're trying to do is get the word out and really do this thing upright. But I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't know, really, quite honestly, anybody, any place our size that has the great athletes that we have here in our Hall of Fame any place else. I mean, it's something when you think of the Lansing area and all of the great athletes that are in this Hall of Fame. I mean, they're worldwide known athletes, and I think it's a testimony to the Lansing area.
Yeah, and when you look at the list of honorees, as you say, there are so many who have not been nominated. But if you go back through the website, and we have a beautiful new website, people can make nominations. Tell our listeners, Bob, if you will, about the website, where they can access that, and how they can make nominations.
Well, Jeff Kegler is the guy that actually is responsible for that webpage. It's up and running now. And if you go to LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, you can see what our webpage looks like. You can see the people that have been nominated. And if they haven't been nominated, or there's a person there that hasn't been nominated that you think should be, then you can actually go online and fill out the form and get that person nominated. So it basically lists all of the inductees, all the people that are nominated, and how to order form, an order form for the Hall of Fame dinner, which is going to be August the 2nd. And it's just a bundle of information for anybody that wants to know about the Sports Hall of Fame. And that's going to get bigger, and that's going to get better as well as we go along. I mean, we've been kind of bombarded trying to put everything together before the induction ceremony this August the 2nd, because this looks like, Jack, that it's going to be the biggest Hall of Fame induction ceremony that we've had in the 37-year history. Bringing Magic Johnson in, and Mohsin Mohammed's coming in, and Ellen Johnson, Magic's sister, is going to be coming in, as about several other individuals, and two great teams, the 72 undefeated Holt football team that was undefeated and unscored upon, and then the 1977 Magic Johnson's Everett basketball team that won the state championship. So this is going to be a very big year for us, and we're really excited about. And then we got our race. The Sunday before the Hall of Fame, we have our 10,000, 5,000 run walk race, and that's a big source for our raising money for the Hall of Fame. And as you know, all of us that participate in the Hall of Fame, we receive no money. There's no salary. Everything we do is voluntary, and then all of our sources of income that take care of the Hall of Fame comes from donations. So it's a struggle every single day, but I believe that we're on the right track, and we've really piqued a lot of people's interest with us moving to the Lansing Center.
So that website is LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, correct?
That's correct.
So if you go to LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, can you sign up for the race as well?
Yes, there's a spot in there where you can press on race. That'll take you to the official weight race form, and also hook you into Playmakers, which is helping us out with promoting our race and having our forum up there on their page as well. So, yeah, anything you need to know about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, August the 2nd, anything you need to know about how to nominate an individual, anything about the past history, and anything about the race, you can get off that webpage.
Bob, how many members and how many teams, individuals and teams, in the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame?
I think we have about 240 individuals, 220 individuals in the Hall of Fame, and team-wise, we have 44. So it's 220 individuals and 44 teams.
And Jim Hornberger had a list at least that long of people who deserved to get in. So
Jim Hornberger did have a list that long that deserved to get in. And, and as you say that, I'm sitting in Bob Weyer's store right now looking at him, and he's peering at me over his glasses. But, yeah, Jim, as you know, we brought Jim on as one of our committee members a while back. Jim is a member of the Hall of Fame and was quite an athlete back in his day and certainly understands the history of sports in this area, and he's an ideal person to have on our selection committee.
Bob Every, our guest, and he is really the driving force behind the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, besides all of his great work in softball coaching. And with the Crown Boxing Club for many, many years, a very important anniversary coming up with that group. But 35 years, right, Bob?
Well, no, this will be our 37th year, Jack.
37th year.
Yep, and I might want to add, too, that tickets for this year's Hall of Fame is going to be reserve ticket sales only in advance. There will be no sales at the door. Tickets are actually available now. We'll take ticket orders starting now, and then we'll mail tickets out around July 1st. But if anybody shows up at the door wanting to get in and they don't have a ticket, they ain't getting in.
And you have an indication, been confirmed, that Irvin Johnson is planning to be there.
Yes, Larry Johnson, who does a lot of Magic's business for Magic Johnson Enterprise, did say that Magic would be here. Now, Bruce Fields, who's on that Everett 77 basketball team, you know, he's the hitting instructor for the Cleveland Indians.
Right.
He's going to try to make it. Muhsin Mohammed said he would be there. Everybody else who we've talked to said that they probably would. Even Kerry Reynolds Ross, who's a 10-time All-American diver out of Okemos and then Auburn. I did talk to Rick Alderman, who is the grandson of Fred Alderman. They're from New Jersey. He's going to try to come and represent Fred, as you know, who was an Olympic gold
medal
winner.
Great Olympian, right.
Back in the 1928 Olympics. I think it was in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And then Dave Shaw will be here. Al Schrauben, the great coach out at Portland. Bill Allen, Mark Ditzworth. You know, then we got Muhsin Mohammed, as I mentioned. Johnson, Alderman. Bill Demmer is going to be receiving the Dick Letts Community Service Award. Walt Lingle, the only founder still alive of the Hall of Fame, is going to receive a special recognition. Kevin Miller is going to represent his father, Doug Miller, the great East Lansing High School athlete. And then, of course, Kerry Reynolds Ross, the diver from Auburn. So that's your list of Hall of Fame inductees.
Well, the answer to a little trivia question, people say, well, isn't Irvin already in? Well, yes, he is. As an individual athlete and now with the 77 Vikings, but George Fox is going to be in three times.
Yeah, George will be the only three-peat guy in. He came in as a player on a team, he came in as a coach, and he came in as an individual. So he's the only three-peat guy in there, and Magic now will be twice as well, and I think maybe that might be it. For the guys that are coming in this year that have multiple Hall of Fame nominations and induction.
Bob, when you talk about someone like a Muhsin Mohammed, a lot of people know of his accomplishments, his exploits at Waverly, at Michigan State, and in the National Football League with touchdowns with two different teams and two Super Bowls. But there are a lot of other athletes that maybe their accomplishments aren't quite as well known. Maybe they're not quite as contemporary. So if you are going to nominate an athlete for the Hall of Fame, it's important to have some background, some material that's going to make that case. And I think that we constantly get our eyes opened on the committee with the tremendous accomplishments. But if you are going to make a nomination, be sure that you bring that information to the table.
Well, that's exactly right, Jack. I mean, the obvious people, that's no problem because we have all sorts of documented evidence through local papers. Some of these old-timers that have had great, great high school careers and deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, you know, that's a little bit more difficult to get that kind of information that would verify their athletic achievements. So basically what we do is we ask for three verifiable letters from three different individuals that are recognizable in the Lansing area to verify this particular athlete, and that certainly helps us. But other than that, I don't know how else we can do it. I mean, we are a voluntary committee, and we really can't go out and do all this police work on and investigative work on these people. So we put the onus on the people that are interested in having these individuals inducted do a lot of that work for us. But really, I think that makes more sense. But yeah, I mean, you know, we scrutinize these applications pretty hard, as you know, being a member. But there are a lot of people out there that deserve to be here, and we can't begin to even consider them if they haven't been nominated. So they need to go in the Hall of Fame and see if this person's been nominated, and if they haven't, then go through the process of getting it done.
Bob Every of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, our guest here on News Talk 870 Sports. Bob has done an unbelievable job of spearheading the effort to relocate the Hall of Fame to the Lansing Center, and an unbelievable display. I know the people from the Lansing Center are very, very happy with it, and I'm sure the people that I see standing and looking at all the exhibits and talking among themselves, it's really become somewhat of a shrine and an attraction for downtown Lansing, the kind of thing that I think we need to bring sports fans downtown.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I mean, when you consider the Lansing Center is the hub of downtown Lansing, and we want anybody that's downtown for whatever reason to take a few minutes to stop in and take a look at the Hall of Fame. Now, baseball is going to be starting up there fairly soon. You know, we're half a block away from, Cooley Law School Stadium, and there's no reason why people can't take 10 minutes to go over there and look around the Hall of Fame before they go to the game or after the game. You know, if they put that new casino in there that Mayor Bonero's working on, that's going to bring even more people. And, you know, the whole idea of a convention bureau is to entertain people, and we don't go down there ever without seeing people standing around looking at the plaques, the individual plaques, looking at the shirts, and it's a great thing, you know?
The number one comment I hear, Bob, and I've been down there three or four times, people say, I didn't know he was from here.
Yeah, amazing. It is. I mean, that's what it goes back, Jack, when we were talking about when you take and consider the size of Lansing and all of the great athletes this area has produced, it's unbelievable. And you're absolutely right. I see a guy come through the other day that didn't know John Smoltz was from the Lansing area. And
right.
The guy was here. He was here from the Atlanta area. He was a casual baseball fan.
Right.
And, I talked to him a little bit after he made the statement because, you know, that's what I like to do. I like to just, question people a little bit about that kind of stuff. But, he was surprised that John Smoltz was from the Lansing area. And I said, and then you look at Todd Martin and Kevin Jackson and Judy Brown, I mean, and the Vincent brothers and, the Thomas brothers. I mean, how many great basketball players professional basketball players have we produced?
Bob, I just finished another book on the Detroit Tigers, Tales from the Detroit Tigers Dugout, Volume 2, and talking to someone about Charlie Gehringer, they had no idea he was from Fowlerville.
Exactly.
And I said, hey, he's in the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, and sure enough, the person went down and wanted to see the display for himself.
Yep. Sammy Williams, a great member of the Fierce Enforcement for the Detroit Lions. He's from Dansville. He's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, just so many of them. And you take a look at the guys like Brock Gutierrez that isn't in the Hall of Fame from Delano.
Yeah.
When you take a look, and Mohsin Mohammed came in this year. I mean, that's the type of difficulty we have deciding who comes in and who doesn't come in. I mean, you would have thought that Mohsin probably, arguably, one of the greatest football players in the Hall of Fame should have been in a while back. But it's difficult trying to decide who goes in. And then we certainly don't want to ignore those people that didn't have the great professional career and the great college career, but were very great high school athletes.
Yes.
There's a guy by the name of Craig Teft who came in on the football team, East Lansing football team last year. Craig Teft was one of the greatest football players that come out of this area. He's not in yet, but yeah. I see that changing fairly soon.
Well, when we talk about great teams, and we mentioned the Everett 77 team, also being inducted is the Holt High 1972 football team. And I don't know how you do any better than unbeaten, untied, and unscored upon.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of teams in the history of football in the state of Michigan that accomplished that feat. And, you know, I mean, it's tough enough to do, I'll tell you that right now, in any level of sports. I don't care whether it's T-ball or rec ball or whatever. But to do it at a major high school in the Lansing area, playing all of the great competition that you have to play by being a high school in this area with other high schools around you, it's a difficult thing to do, and what a great achievement. And when I talked to Daryl Griggs, the coach of that team, he was so excited, and you know, he's been waiting for this for a long time, and I gotta believe that the whole football program is going to be well represented on the August 2nd induction ceremony.
Well, if there's a better football team in the history of Lansing than that 72 Holt team, I know Daryl would get his guys together and put them in uniforms and see if he could beat them. So
they're probably young enough to do it still.
It'd be a lot of fun. Bob, once again, can you give us the website address and information on tickets? You have to get your tickets in advance for the banquet this year on August 2nd.
Yep. Yeah, all the information they need regarding the Hall of Fame awards dinner and the 10,000, 5,000 run-walk race, you can get that on LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, LansingSportsHallOfFame.org, and then there's phone numbers in there, my phone number, a couple of other phone numbers, Bob DeLue, who's our co-chairperson. You can call any one of those numbers anytime about the race or about the Hall of Fame, and we'd be happy to talk to you.
Bob Every, the driving force behind the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Thanks so much for your time, Bob.
Jack, thank you, and I'm not the driving force, but I'm passionate about it, as you know. But you people that are committee members with me do a lot to make my job a lot easier. I want to tell you that.
Well, so we know who's steering the bus. Thanks, Bob.
Right,
we appreciate
it. See you later.
Right. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on WKAR AM 870.
What if you discovered that you had a gene linked to a fatal disease? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at one reporter's struggle to understand the results of his deciphered DNA, plus electricity generated from germs scooped right out of river mud. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
We are back. Jack Ebling here, sitting in for Earl Robinson, and Earl will be back on Monday. He's actually going to be at the Sexton Eastern basketball game tonight at the Don Johnson Fieldhouse, as I will. Looking forward to that very much. And we are going to be talking a little bit more the rest of this hour with Cameron Ganas from Traction, and he's going to be joining us in just a moment. Big weekend coming up here in Michigan State sports. Michigan State hockey team at Notre Dame and has a chance to really exceed all expectations with a fast finish here. We also have a chance for Michigan State basketball to really put itself in great position as the Big Ten season comes to an end, and the regular season with just three games to go. The Spartans hosting Nebraska tomorrow night. That is an 8 o'clock game. At Breslin Center, and Michigan State, just two home games left, just two chances for this senior class to be recognized, and Michigan State with a one-game lead over Ohio State and the University of Michigan, and has a tough road next week with a game at Indiana on Tuesday, and then the wrap-up, the rematch with the Ohio State Buckeyes on Sunday, a week from Sunday. And that may determine the Big Ten championship. As Judd Heathcote said, he expects that game to be for the title. Jacob Bodner, our producer here today, and we have Cameron Ganas with us from Traction. We have Cameron on the line here. Let's go out to the phones. Hello, Cameron. How are you?
Real good, Jack. Thanks.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your company, Traction. And first of all, congratulations on a tremendous showing at the Addy Awards, and all of the marketing and branding efforts, well-recognized, and now the rest of the area knows what your clients have known, what tremendous work you do.
Well, I really appreciate Jack, and that's, as I say every single time, it's certainly a reflection of my staff here that we put together, and super proud of their work and our clients trusting us to push them a little bit through what we do.
Well, I want to talk to you about two specific projects of yours. As a publisher, you know, put on your publishing hat here for a minute. People who know you, you're everywhere in the mid-Michigan area, but they may not understand exactly what you do, and you really do have so many different irons in the fire. But in terms of publishing, you are the one who is really responsible for Greater Lansing Sport Magazine, which people can find in a lot of offices and waiting rooms. And, of course, a lot of people have home subscriptions. And also a new book that's coming out, Heart of a Spartan, dealing with the last 2 years and the renaissance of Michigan State's football program. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think the one common denominator between those two really, really great projects is you and your effort and what you're able to bring to the voice of somebody who obviously not only knows a ton, but is connected to a ton of people and respected by many in this community. So first of all, let me just say I'm honored to have you as the Hall of Fame, you know, sports writer, clearly being the one for the voice of our magazine and the publication that we're putting together here. But, you know, first, I think on the magazine, I think what's amazing about our community in general is that we truly are a community of not necessarily sports fanatics, but people who are involved in sports and supporters of that. And I say that as a high school soccer coach for many years in the area and a high school sports fan in general, and obviously participated in high school sports in this area myself. But it was awesome when I had the opportunity to help bring this magazine to the community by Chris Holman and Don Loden. We all partnered together to create this publication, and now it's something that I'm carrying on for that. But we're super proud to reach the number of people that we do. You know, like you said, every lobby and waiting room in the community and people that subscribe to it, and as well as purchasing it, you know, at the stores, is
right.
A testament to how much people really enjoy the kind of stories that we're able to bring, you know, every month. And again, I'm also just as proud about the fact that we get the opportunity to help photographers in the area that
yes.
like sharing, you know, their stories through photographs, and writers. I mean, we've used probably 70 to 80 different freelance writers and photographers through the years, and are always certainly open to even sharing more stories. But I just love the fact that this community just rallies so much behind what sports mean in all, in many, many senses.
Just talking with Bob Every of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, and really driving home the point of how important sports is to the fabric of this community. And back when we started this in September 2008, there were a few cynics and some skeptics who said, how are you going to find enough stuff to keep this going? After 6 months, what are you going to do? Well, sitting in those committee meetings down at Traction, we've got stories for the next couple of years. We just have to be able to get them all into the magazine. And yet we're always taking story ideas. Tell our listeners what they can do if they have a story idea or if they have a photograph that they would like to submit.
Well, I think in both cases, reaching out to us by the website, which is sportlansing.com. Right now, that site isn't necessarily set up to share the stories that are in the publication. We really like the fact that, you know, people really still enjoy print, and we see studies on that all the time, and they love sitting in those lobbies and even sitting in their, you know, their couch and just kind of reading the stories and have the ability to kind of open a magazine and share it. But at the website, people can contribute photographs, story ideas, and we reach back out to them if it's something that looks like it's a good fit, as vetted by the, you know, editorial committee, and we certainly love to include as many of those. And like you said, we've got a lineup of stories that I don't know how we could fit them all. Even if we were a 100-page publication every month, we'd still be behind in being able to bring these. And, you know, we're certainly not a magazine that brings, you know, daily sports, you know, scores and updates or recaps of games as much as we are, you know, hey, how come the kid that's second from the end on the bench got such a standing ovation and went in? And sometimes there's a little bit of the, you know, the Rudy factor in that, but sometimes the student body in those cases know that this kid also organized a food drive for a family that, you know, had a home burned down, or, you know, any given number of scenarios, whether it's community, you know, sports by adults, or, you know, high school sports, or even some of these college athletes that are, you know, visiting our town for just a couple of years. They're doing really amazing things in this community or overcome certain achievements, and that's the story I love telling.
Cameron, you were born in this community. You went to school here, except for a short stay in college when you were a soccer goalkeeper at West Virginia. You've basically been a Lansing native your entire life. I came here in 1969, and except for 3 years when I was teaching and coaching in Lapeer, I've been here the rest of my life. And I think we're both very proud of this area, of what it has to offer. And I have to tell you, one of the most rewarding things is that in all the time we have worked on this magazine, I don't think I've had one negative comment about, why are you guys doing this? You know, when I was working at the State Journal for 25 years, I had a lot of people who wanted to drive me to the airport and get me out of town. But no one has anything bad to say about this magazine, except that either they can't find it in the newsstands, it's sold out, or they went into their doctor's office and someone else had already taken it with them. So
that's the complaint. The complaint we hear is, hey, where's this at? Or how come this page is missing from the publication? And we apologize to anybody that tries to pick it up. And I know that, you know, for some people listening to this, it sounds like we're tooting our own horns. But honestly, if there was a negative, we'd love to hear it. You know, we want to hear the good and the bad. And like you said, I think that, you know, we're certainly not a muckraking magazine, and I think that helps to the fact that we don't have a lot of controversial stuff. But certainly, how can people feel bad or negativity towards hearing about, you know, a future, you know, hopeful, or, you know, a young woman overcoming the death of her mom and winning two state championships in a row? And it's just like, people can either use sports as an excuse, you know, or they can use it as a motivation or things in their lives to achieve great things. So I think that's, you know, again, one of the reasons that this magazine is so well received is because of the feel good stuff, but just in terms of peeling back the onion layers and telling the stories behind the stories.
Where can people get this magazine? Obviously, they can go online to sportlansing.com and they can subscribe, or they can find it, as you mentioned, just about every business in town. But if they would like to purchase a copy, what's the best way to do that?
We've got a lot of great kind of local places that carry it. Athletes Connection in South Lansing, Playmakers over in the Okemos area, Schuler's Books, Barnes & Noble. Everybody reads here on Michigan Avenue. And we're working on a couple more kind of outlets as well. But those are definitely the primary stores that people can go and pick these up. Don't want to forget Student's Bookstore, you know, on campus there at Michigan State. So, and again, if anybody's listening and they have other ideas on, you know, distribution, we'd be happy to, you know, to pay attention to that as well.
Cameron Ganass of Traction, our guest here on News Talk 870 Sports. And Cameron is, among many things he does, the publisher of Greater Lansing Sport Magazine and of the new book that will be out in April. And that is Heart of a Spartan. And that is the story of Michigan State's football renaissance the past 2 years, and historical look at what has made this program what it is today. Cam, can you talk a little bit about that book and what the vision is?
Well, I think, you know, the book to me and anybody is going to have, it's going to mean different things in different areas of the book. And one of the things that I think is the best component of this is like a look back at what really having a heart of a Spartan means. Mm-hmm. And it means different things to everybody. But what's nice are the, you know, we had these vignettes of past players, you know, reaching back 60, you know, odd years that talk about the, you know, their Spartan life, conversations, luckily, that had been captured and told for some of those Spartans that aren't with us anymore and those that are still around but far away, and what it meant to them as a Spartan, you know, being here and even, you know, now looking back. And so this kind of legacy of telling those stories, almost capturing every single year as they overlap from Spartans from the old to the new, and then as you're looking at these last 2 years, featuring, you know, probably, you know, I would say maybe the 10 greatest Spartans in the last 2 years in terms of what their contributions were to us being a kind of the championship program that it clearly has become, and clearly has a standard set that there's an expectation of continuing on that excellence. And so this woven story of many, you know, as told from the mouths of these players and participants in the program, not to mention your narrative, you know, talking about the last 2 years and kind of week by week how we've transcended to, you know, kind of this rise back to being a national, you know, contender in a way that people were in the dialogue of being a good program. Nobody's saying that we're expecting to win the national championship every year, but everybody knows in college football, you know, one bad, you know, snap can take you to some bad places, but there's certainly an expectation here of, of winning and continuing this winning tradition, and you know, that heart of a Spartan, warrior. How can you fight that?
Starting with a forward from Tom Izzo, who really does consider himself as much a football guy as a basketball guy, through the celebration in Tampa, we really take a look at this entire program going back to its roots, some conversations with Dr. John Hanna, which laid the groundwork for what Michigan State is today. As you mentioned, the player vignettes from George Gary in 1946 all the way through Eric Gordon in 2009. We have 33 of the greatest Spartans or record setters or All-Americans, all Big Ten players, talking about what is special about that designation to them. And then, of course, you mentioned the narrative really explaining how this program came to be. And then a series of 50 looks at the program, week-by-week snapshots, throughout the last two seasons. And you can read it in parts, installments. You can read it as one winding narrative throughout. And I really want to mention the work of Matt Mitchell, some of the best photography you'll find anywhere. I told Judd Heathcote earlier when he asked me about the book the other day, I said, the photography is so good, I couldn't even screw this one up.
I was about to say, I think that if you're just a visual lover of sport in terms of understanding passion and as told through stories, I think Matt Mitchell's capture of the last couple of years of Spartan football is unbelievable. And clearly I'm a sports guy, and I love photography and creativity. And again, I can comfortably say, just as you just did, that, you know, Matt Mitchell's work in capturing and being with the team as the, you know, effectively the team photographer, and the ability that we had to use and license his photographs, and the size of these photographs and this coffee table format. Even if you never want to read a word about the last 2 years, you can just pick this thing up and flip through it and just be absolutely blown away by kind of the emotion that are captured in some of these photographs.
If someone wants to pre-order a copy of this book, what's the best way to do that, Cam?
Yeah, visiting directly the book's website, which is heartofaspartanbook.com. There they can actually just give us their email address to be notified when the book is physically, you know, in bookstores and available to purchase, or they can pre-order the book and just make sure that they receive the shipment, you know, as basically it rolls off the presses here in April in time for the spring football game. But, you know, they can follow us there, or they'll be able to buy it at sportlansing.com, again, as a pre-order.
Well, a lot of people are looking forward to that. And I'm sure we will see a lot of them at signings that we're going to have locally and around the country with various alumni groups. So that's going to be a very exciting time. And Michigan State football players say they're going to follow through and make sure that 2012 is every bit as good as 2010 and 11. So if they do their part, we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
That's going to be great.
Cameron Ganas, our guest, and from Traction, a top design firm, marketing, branding. Congratulations on the performance at the Addy Awards the other night, and we will see you very soon.
Thank you much, Jack.
All right. We want to remind everyone that Earl Robinson will be back on Monday. He's just taking a day off. We haven't forced him to leave the state. He'll be back on Monday, and we're actually going to see him tonight at the basketball game. I'm sure we'll see a lot of you at basketball games coming up over the weekend. Michigan State hockey in action again, a very important series at Notre Dame. That game is on CBS Sports Network tonight. Michigan State basketball tomorrow against Nebraska. That is an 8 o'clock start. And following that on the Big Ten Network, the Big Ten Icons show on Judd Heathcote. Congratulations to Susie Merchant and the MSU women's team. Tremendous 20-point win last night over Nebraska, a ranked team, and a tremendous finish for the Lady Spartans. And high school basketball in action tonight. If you haven't had a chance to stop out and see high school basketball, we're getting close to tournament time. It's a great chance for you to do that. We'll see a lot of you over at Don Johnson Fieldhouse tonight. I want to thank all of our special guests, Michigan State coaching icon Judd Heathcote, Bob Every of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, and Cameron Ganas of Traction. We'll be back and we'll see you very soon. This is Jack Ebling and our producer Jacob Bodner. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.